Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't. Think of it like this. If the TV show is a 3-day wedding in Venice, then we're a registry office and pork pie buffet in Woolwich.
I like the sound of that, to be honest, if I had to choose one or two.
My parents got married in Woolwich registry office.
I thought you'd say they had a pork pie buffet.
They probably did. It was the 80s.
Your dad's Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez.
That was so confusing to me because my dad's name is Jeff. So I was like, how does Jack know my dad's name?
He genuinely looked shocked.
I was sort of fascinated by that wedding last week. Like, It is amazing that no matter how much money you can have, it can't buy you taste whatsoever. Like, They had a surprise pajama party. Imagine getting a wedding invite and they say, yeah, bring your pajamas.
Wait, so that's not a surprise?
Well,
oh, yeah, okay. That's a good point.
Oh, okay, then probably Jeff. I think he might know a place to get a load of pajamas at short notice. Yeah.
To be fair, if someone said to me we're having a surprise pajama party and it was a surprise, I'd be furious because it would just be me in boxer shorts with holes in them. Like, it's not something you want to surprise people with, I would say.
No. I mean, I would be surprised, Mike, if I'm honest. So
and disappointed. I'll say, notice Queenie's not here, which is a shame.
I know.
That malevolent presence that follows us around.
Yeah, unfortunately, Queenie is unable to join us today, but she has sent us in a voicemail. So we're going to have a listen to that.
Great.
Hello, everyone. I'm not here this week because, as some of you may know, I also work for the RAF and we've got planes to clean. I thought I'd do a very quick Glastonbury roundup. And I need to stress, I have less than zero interest in that festival, despite my accent and sort of everything else about me. But there was big news from all corners of the political mosh pit this weekend. Kneecap's arch rival Arthritis, and this article says he's also a singer, Rod Stewart, has declared that the UK should give Farage a chance ahead of his Tea Time Glastonbury set. Speaking to The Times, Stewart threw public support to reform, admitting, "It's hard for me because I'm extremely wealthy and I deserve to be. So a lot of it doesn't really touch me, but that doesn't mean I'm out of touch." I can't really imagine that that resonates with the same crowd that chanted, "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn," in 2017. More news from all along the Watchtower. The US have actually revoked Bob Dylan's visa by accident under the Don't Think Twice, It's All Right Act. No, but actual breaking news from the US is a huge relief that they've taken away Bob Dylan's visas. As it turns out, the rap duo were mere weeks away from producing a nuclear weapon. Despite the array of opinions this weekend, at least we can all agree that the biggest atrocity was the fact that one of the headliners was Jack's favourite band, the 1975. See you all in round 2.
First things first, I just want to say...
Shots fired.
1975.
Greatest band you look.
Don't know any of the songs. I'm not a fan anyway. Charlie XCX, though. Totally different story.
She is very
good. I'm there. I was there with bells on, which makes me very cool, apparently.
Oh yeah, what did she say? "You're all cool, but you're not as cool as me, bitches."
Yeah, that's the one.
I read that and actually I thought that was the only thing I would be interested in from Glastonbury.
My mum texted me and my sister, who was also there, and she said, "Oh, we've tried to tune into Charlie XCX, but too many flashing lights, scary."
They didn't mind the swearing.
Love the swearing. Flashiness. She was like, "Fucking brilliant, she's cool as fuck." Yeah. She didn't say that. She did not say that.
So can I say, by the way, Queenie's arthritis joke was amazing.
I saw Rod Stewart.
Yeah?
He didn't bring Farage out as a guest.
That would have been ballsy.
He brought someone way worse.
Yeah, Mick Hucknall. Yeah. It's probably worth looking at Rod Stewart's set just to check out his backing singers and musicians and dancers. Just have a look. I'm not saying anything else, you know. They flashed up pictures of Penny Lancaster, and he's got a very particular type
that
he likes to collaborate with.
Yeah.
There was also a point where he brought out Ronnie Wood on stage, and you can just imagine the St. John's ambulance on hand having absolute kittens with him and Rod Stewart in 30-degree heat. Oh, God. You've never seen so many defibrillators ready to go at one time.
I actually read a really interesting article. He's got a personal trainer. I know it was.
I read that article. That was also a desperate attempt to get Rod Stewart in the papers, wasn't it?
Also, have you seen not only personal trainer, he's trying to break the record for over 80s 100 meter record.
I mean, also, I'm throwing shade here at Rod Stewart, like for being like I pull a muscle reaching for a remote control. Like, I'm not doing 2 hours at Glastonbury. He's absolutely, Rod Stewart's hammered me in a race.
My favourite bit about Rod Stewart's personal trainer was that he said that Rod had let him have a go on his train set. And I thought that was very sweet.
That's not a euphemism.
Who can tell?
He got railed.
Oh my God.
It's been interesting, Glastonbury, because I normally get quite annoyed when it's on, because I have actually been, at least. It's surprisingly shit.
Really?
Yeah, because of Bob Villain and Kneecap, all anyone's talking about is Glastonbury. There's always this argument about artists and, like, should they have political views? But I think there's political views, and then there's just straight up anti-Semitism. You know, flick through newspapers, scroll down websites, and the first page is dominated by Bob Villain. And then you scroll down at the bottom, there's, oh, people still being killed in Gaza, conflict still happening in Israel, you know, all this destruction on both sides, problems in Iran. And all of that's just completely pushed to the back page. So it's incredibly counterproductive.
Kneecap, they're being investigated by police as well, basically because they said, fuck Keir Starmer, which I sort of think, if that's the reason to investigate them separately to all the other stuff, I know there's other stuff going on in terms of charges and stuff like that, but with that particular set, it was because they said that. And I think if that's the going thing to be investigated by the police, there's going to be a lot of Labour MPs that are going to have to be facing some kind of police investigation.
Yes, they've collectively told him to do one this week.
Yeah. Round one, the big story this week, there's a bit of a rebellion going on for Labour. And 1 year after their win in the general election, it looks like things have got pretty bad for them.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you think Keir's biggest headache is at the moment?
Oh my God, where do you begin? I mean, the whole thing's just a disaster, but the cherry on the turd pie has got to be, is that how the phrase goes? I think it is.
Yeah, that's the phrase.
It's got to be the welfare bill. The vote for that's happening as we record. It looks like they've scraped through. So for months, Labour MPs have been telling Keir Starmer, we don't agree with this welfare bill. This is what we voted for. This is what our constituents want. We have huge concerns. And he completely ignored them. And now it's got to the point where he suddenly turned around and they said, you're going to lose this vote, even despite your huge majority. And so they've last minute made all these concessions. But the whole thing's a mess because it comes down to Labour's economic plan being a disaster. So they go, okay, we need to find this $5 billion in savings. Okay, well, we're not brave enough to take it off the rich, so we'll take it off the disabled, because that's what the Tories did and they got away with it for 14 years. So they've come up with this plan. Now, this is how shambolic it is. Labour have commissioned two reports into disability. So there's the Timms report, and then there's also one by Lord Mayfield. So the Timms report is into who's eligible for PIP payments. And the Mayfield report is into how disabled people are treated at work and how we get them back into work. The Mayfield report isn't due till autumn. The Timms report isn't due till 2026. But in their panic to be seen to be doing something, Labour have brought this in. So they're going to make these changes. But then the report saying what they should change won't come out for 2 years. And they commissioned the report. It's so shambolic.
What I loved was Number 10's response to it, though. Number 10 said, look, the reason it's taken so long is because it'll need proper co-production for the review. And what we're committed to is doing a proper job on this. And by proper job, I mean proper, like a properly bad job.
They've done a proper number on it.
Yeah, we want to do a proper number.
And that number was a number 2.
They are so woolly in what they're doing. And it's like the biggest symptom of having sat on the fence for so many years as a Labour leader and saying what way they're going to go and not really deciding, that when it actually comes to it, you realise, oh no, that's what they're like all the time. They are always going to try and, like, if they ever do try and go one way, they're just going to retract it to sit on the fence again. which doesn't make anyone happy. You just piss off a load of people and then don't do anything that's of any worth, you know?
I was trying to tally up all the things that Keir Starmer and Labour have gone back on. So there's the welfare plans, there's the winter fuel payment cuts, there's the decision to hold a grooming gangs inquiry, using the phrase island of strangers, and appointing Sue Gray to be his chief of staff.
Sue Gray, forgot about Sue Gray.
Right? That's five things.
And that's not including net zero.
Oh, yeah, net zero.
They're pushed away from that.
We could keep going all night with these.
Yeah. I mean, my favourite thing about the welfare bill, Conservative MP Mel Stride, he came out today and criticised Reform for saying they'll vote against the welfare bill. And it was then pointed out to him that the Conservatives are also voting against the welfare bill.
Oh, no.
I love it. It's so good. I just think they're so excited about Labour messing up. They just don't know what to do themselves.
No, because they agree with it. The problem is fundamentally Reform and the Conservatives agree with it, right?
Because it's quite a Tory vibe that this bill has.
Yeah, it's retro.
Yeah.
I think you call it.
Speaking of the Tories as well, some of these quotes were coming from the Keir Starmer interview with his biographer. Yeah. And did you see his comment on Kemi Badenoch? He said, "It is a challenge for her. I don't want to be patronising because it's not about her. It's really difficult. It is a really hard job. And I don't know if you guys talk mean girl, but that's the equivalent of a mean girl looking at your outfit and going, oh, that's cute.
Oh, wow. So it's real, real passag.
Yeah.
There was a very funny point today in her speech in her House of Commons where she was complaining by sort of saying, oh, well, Labour keep blaming the Tories and the previous Tories for all this welfare problems. You know, they need to do something about it. They need to be clear. And Emily Thornberry sort of stuck her hand up and said, can you tell me exactly when the benefit system actually did work under the Tories 14 years? Mm. And Kemi Badenoch went, well, we inherited a terrible situation in 2010.
No.
Completely straight-faced. Completely straight-faced. You go, how can you... It's just, it is so funny to see because they're just all useless.
But this is the worry. It's the erosion of trust in politicians and politics. And then you go, well, you sort of end up with the next worst option. And, you know, it's Farage. It's Reform waiting in the wings.
So there was a YouGov poll this week that has predicted a Reform Party win if a general election were called now. Mm. Jack, if that were to happen, what could we expect a Reform-led UK to look like?
You made that sound like Jack's a representative of Reform. That's great.
Jack.
No, it is. I'm working very closely with them. The first thing we would do is abolish Glastonbury. I think they'd have to buy a lot more Nigel Farage cutouts to go around Westminster, wouldn't they? Like, he'd have to be in a lot more places, so they'd have to... And he'd still want to go on holiday, so they'd have to sort of fill in a lot of spots.
Maybe like Saddam Hussein. You know how he had like 57 lookalikes?
Yeah.
And lots of people, like bug-eyed people with pints in barber jackets.
Where are we going to find them?
Yeah. That doesn't sound at all like what it's like at the moment there.
Well, that's why we're getting them all off their farms so they can come in.
Yeah, ready to go.
Yeah.
The thing about it is I don't think we would really know because, again, they just don't have policies. Like Nigel Farage, I think last week, said that policies are aspirations, not promises, right? Which I think is pretty smart because at least then you're just saying, like, when you come into power and you don't do anything you say, you say, hey, look, man, it was an aspiration. I wanted to lose 3 stone. That was the aspiration.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's not a promise.
It's basically he's saying they're like aftershaves. It's a concept. It's an idea. It's a smell. It's a moment.
That is a good name for an aftershave.
Well, aspirations, not promises.
Yeah.
You need a big bottle, I guess, but...
By Farage.
Farage.
Oh my God.
It does sound a lot like Sauvage. They could easily just change the lettering in the factory. And I think Johnny Depp replaced with Nigel Farage isn't too bad a switch, I think.
No.
My only thing with this, the YouGov survey, right, is it's one of those things where they say to you, if a general election were held tomorrow, how would you vote? And I kind of think people just say whatever. Like, people don't really think about it. They're in the street, they get asked the question, how would you vote tomorrow? They go... Yeah, probably vote Reform. And you forget that there's like the lead up to the general election. Like Nigel Farage would have to show people who's going to be the shadow chancellor, right? Who is going to be the shadow foreign secretary? And again, whatever you feel about Dominic Cummings, he essentially said in an interview recently that he was kind of helping Reform and had a conversation with Farage because the biggest thing he said is that people are not going to vote for you if they can't see you've got competent people around you. Mm. And I think Nigel Farage's problem is that he doesn't really care about the people around him.
It's the Nigel Farage show, isn't it?
Right. But then again, you think about that and you think, well, that surely can't work. And then you look at the US election last year.
I was just thinking that.
And Donald Trump doesn't care who's around him.
I don't know. I think the problem is it's the anger. The anger towards Labour and the other parties is what's fueling the move to reform. So you can just like that. Was it Staffordshire? Is it Staffordshire Council that's got the 18-year-old?
Warwickshire Council. Yeah. Got an George Finch,
18-year-old Reform Party councillor in charge of the whole council's budget.
Yeah, someone resigned, right? And then he became leader.
It's 5,000 people and like 400 million?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But people voted for him. He got voted in as a councillor. I mean, this is the thing. I think everyone's so inept. It's going, well, we might as well.
I saw that amongst the things that he espouses, he said, you know, family values is something he really espouses. Obviously, you're a child.
Yeah.
Of course you care about family.
Parents should be giving good amounts of pocket money. Yeah. That's what I see in family values.
We'd like to see bedtimes go up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Chores come down.
But I quite like the quote you gave, because someone was in the Labour MP sort of said about aspects qualifications and sort of like hinting at his age.
What do you say? Woodwork.
Yeah.
IT and business. Got a B, mate.
We don't know what his qualifications are.
25-meter swimming.
Let's assume he did politics, maybe. I mean, based on the current House of Commons, you definitely don't need to in order to be able to get in there.
No.
But he said it's such a shame that someone was talking about his age. He said, look at William Pitt the Younger.
Wow.
He was elected to MP at the age of 21.
Yeah, who was his dad again?
Yeah, Nepo baby. Also, at a time when the average age was about 45. But aside from that, he also pointed out that Mike Tyson was the youngest heavyweight boxer of the world, age 20.
Mm.
Which really shows the reform mindset to be like, you've got to be ready to fight.
Yeah. I think I'd rather have Mike Tyson in charge of my finances than an 18-year-old reform.
I think you're the only person on this podcast that thinks that, Mike. So
I stand by that. I stand by that ill-thought-out comment.
Famously bankrupt.
It's more of a concept.
It's an aspiration.
It's an aspiration. It's not like, don't question the details.
Hello, Cody Darla here. You might best know me from my internet videos, which involve me impersonating such hellish figures as Donald Trump's advisor, Elon Musk's babysitter, and a right-winger who screams,
"Think about the fish!"
But I also host a comedy news podcast called The Truth in My Opinion. Basically, if you're the sort of person who wants to keep abreast of what's going on in the world, but quite literally can't stomach listening to the news for more than 5 minutes, then The Truth in My Opinion is for you. Because it's 5 minutes long. Less for the news hungry, more for the news peckish, yum. Yum. Catch The Truth in My Opinion every Wednesday and Saturday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's now time for round 2, where we've each brought a story from the past week that we think would be perfect for round 2 of the TV show. Mike, you're up first.
Yes.
What have you got for us?
From Glastonbury to another UK summer tradition, Wimbledon started this week.
Yes.
And one of the big stories so far is the success of British player Oliver Tarvert. So it's pretty exciting. He's 21. He's ranked 733rd in the world, which means he's the lowest ranked player in the tournament. So unlike big names in tennis who are invited to the tournament, he's come through qualifying, which is really tough. He beat a lot of high ranked players. He's only 21. On Monday, he plays his first ever Grand Slam match and he wins it in straight sets against a guy who I think at one point was ranked 130th in the world. So way above him. And he's gone through to round 2 and he's going to play the 2-time reigning champion, Carlos Alcaraz. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The prize money for reaching the second round of Wimbledon is £99,000. It's not bad, is it? But because Tarvet is studying for a degree in America, the rules of his NCAA scholarship state, he can't claim more than $7,300 of that in terms of profits.
No.
Otherwise, he loses his scholarship and he can't complete his degree. So he's had to go, well, no, I want my degree. So, but what they've said is the only way he can justify taking the prize money is if he can prove he sort of spent it on tennis-related needs for the tournament. So it becomes expenses, not profits. So basically, he needs a really good accountant. And he told the Times this week, I've got to find £60,000 or £70,000 worth of expenses, adding, we'll figure something out, fly business class. And obviously, no, I'm keeping humble.
Yeah, I'd liked in his quote, he kept on being like, I'm probably going to spend on this, but obviously, no, I'm not going to go too mental.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like,
diamond encrusted tennis racket, but not really, not really.
I'm excited to hear his next match on the radio where you hear him serve and the multitude of chains that he now has on. sort of like jangle every time he does stuff.
Yeah, and every time he wins a point, he has like a hype man come out that he's hired. He's going, yeah, boy!
15 love!
Yeah. Of course, he's in London, so presumably food counts, so he could just like...
Go to Pret.
He could just go to Pret, yeah.
How can we say that we are somehow related to tennis and get him to spend some of his expenses money on us?
That's a great question.
How do we arrange that?
I like your thinking straight away, Emil.
But Emil, you're a gag writer, you could like... Maybe you could write him some like roast jokes for his opponents.
That's such a good point. Do they have a face-off like in wrestling?
I think yes, and at the same time, no, nothing like wrestling. But
I'm going to say no.
They come and go, see you, Boris Becker. I'm going to crush you.
They have entrance music.
Yeah.
Like normally it's just one-on-one and then someone will appear and just join the other team.
Yeah.
So they become 2-1.
Pick up one of the chairs, hit them over the head with it.
They get the umpire's chair. Yeah. Huge, huge hit from the umpire's chair. But they do go past each other when they change ends. So it would be the perfect time.
There's that British player, Harriet Dart, and she's playing in Wimbledon. I think she won her first round match. But she was saying she had to take some time out because a couple of months ago, she played a French player and she called her smelly and it got picked up on the court mics and it went viral. And then she was really embarrassed and was like, oh, I'm really sorry about that. And I thought, oh, it's a really late, like, it's not even clever. Mm. So you could like,
you could write some better roasts. Yeah.
If it's going to be the mic, you'd have to hide it within tennis speak, wouldn't you?
Oh.
15 love, your mum. And you just say, you know, something along those
15
lines.
15 love, your mum.
It's quite nice.
I was just telling him to love your mum is a bad thing, isn't it? Juice. What? How could you get juice?
I was thinking of juice.
Juice guzzler doesn't really work, does it? Again, you're just giving them advice. Guzzle your juice. It's going to help.
At some point, everything does just sound like an euphemism. Yeah, you line judge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think his money's safe in terms of being able to give us any.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. That was excellent. Jack, what is your round two story for this week?
My round two story is China held the first fully autonomous AI robot football tournament this weekend.
Lots of sporting news.
Yeah.
More sporting news. Pretty big step. Pretty exciting. It was a 3-on-3 humanoid match in Beijing. Now, the views on how it went down are slightly differing. According to one Chinese news outlet, right, the competition demonstrated robots' technical achievements in motion control, visual perception, positioning and navigation, decision-making planning, and multi-machine collaboration. Sounds pretty impressive, right?
Sounds like a Pep Guardiola team.
Right. And then if you read the British papers, one said that you had child-sized robots who just run into each other and fell over. And they were supposed to stand up after getting down, but they had to be stretchered off. And that was their review.
Wow.
Of the
game.
Do you know what? I actually saw a clip of it. I was watching the TV and it came on. And just this aimless, like almost sort of semi-human autonomous creatures running around and falling over. And then I realised actually it was just Chelsea losing in the Club World Cup.
I'm so annoyed. I was so annoyed because my joke was that I was going to say it's not a great start, but at least the Tottenham scouts picked up a few new squad members. And I was going to get there first and I could see it coming a mile along. I'm so annoyed.
I know, and I knew there'd be a Spurs joke in it, so I'd get him with the Chelsea one first.
God damn it, Mike Raymond.
And everyone was just out here like, can we move on?
Yeah.
But like the footage is like classic Havoc on his view.
Yeah.
It's just
really
rubbish.
Oh no.
What was the score?
The final score was 5-3, I think.
Oh, there were goals.
There were goals, although as it was pointed out, they scored and then just instantly fell over. And when they fell over, it was so pathetic because they sort of just lie there prone. And obviously the engineers are waiting for them to try and pick themselves up. And they don't, and they just lie there for ages. And then they really honestly brought out stretchers and put them onto a stretcher and then carried them off, which was pretty funny. But the best thing about it, the pitch is quite small. And they stretch them off just to the side and then lift them off and leave them lying prone.
Oh my God.
On the side, which reminded me of my school days where I tried to do an over-the-head kick playing football, landed on my wrist, broke my wrist, had like a sort of Z-shaped wrist. And my PE teacher took me off to the side and said, are you going to faint? I said, I don't think so. And he said, good. And then just went off and carried on playing the football match.
Wow. That is the British education system in all its glory.
It's good, solid. As my dad would say, character building. Mm. But the whole point of this football thing is like as a warm-up for the upcoming World Humanoid Robot Games, which is a real thing.
Wow.
That's happening in China in August. There's 100 international teams. I'd like to ask you, what sports do you think they're going to make these robots do?
Can't do swimming because they would go up in flames.
Good point. There's no swimming, no.
100-meter photocopier?
Yeah, mate, it's not far off. You've got track and field, you've got football, gymnastics, dance, basketball. But most importantly, they're going to have factory, hospital and hotel tasks.
Wow.
Because everyone's favourite Olympic sports are artificial foot assembly relay and catheter insertion. Do you remember when Brazil won that in the Tokyo Olympics last year?
I would watch a medical Olympic Games, though.
Yeah, tracheotomy and field.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack, for another sporting story. And I actually think Queenie has a little something extra that has caught her eye as well.
Thanks, Emerald. You're the best. My round two story this week is that a tourist has been denied entry at the US border for having an objectively hilarious meme of JD Vance on his phone. I don't know if anyone's seen this picture, but as a picture researcher, I cried tears of joy. It's just everything you want to see. It depicts JD Vance as a big baby. The thing that's funny about this to me is that JD Vance is like the face that launched 1,000 memes. If you're still on Twitter, which I regret to say that I am, you would have seen him in the past few months be really annoyed about all of these different things. People are editing his face to just look very unflattering or to look like a character in Shrek or like a chicken nugget. It's really funny, and that's all it should be. And in my opinion, it's a bit terrifying that they can deny people entry at the border. Bit of a slip into, you know, the fascist state that we think it's going down, but really, really, really funny. And I think we'd probably tag that off the back of any US news that we'd put in round one, question two, potentially, this week. That's it. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of the podcast, specifically Emerald.
Thanks,
Queenie. Wow.
She's just gone off to listen to 1975. She's a big fan of their album.
Yeah. I have seen the picture. I didn't realise it was him as a baby. I just thought they just made him bald. But it does look hilarious. It's an absolutely hilarious thing to get, like, denied access for.
Yeah. Wow.
It's maybe realize that all they'd have to do is if any of us went to the border is just check our name against a Vagant News View and they'd be like, yeah, you guys aren't coming in.
It was kind of mental when I was over there, though, because there were stories of like there was a doctor that got French doctor that got turned away for having anti-Trump stuff in a WhatsApp group.
Hmm.
So when I text someone about the P-Hexeth signal stuff, I sort of said that maybe he was possibly not as competent as people might think he is.
Now you're being careful with your words.
Yeah. At the same time, he was doing a fantastic job. Just in case.
I mean, it's weird though, because it's like in China, they've got this thing about Winnie the Pooh. So Winnie the Pooh's banned because they've compared him to President Xi. You know, and all the Western media's up in arms about it. But it is pretty similar to what's happening in America. So won't be rushing to go back over there for a while.
Well, I need to get some new aftershave. After I've used my Farage up, you know, I need to get some
you need some Trump.
Victory 4547.
What would a JD Vance perfume be?
Sofa leather. That would be his thing, wouldn't it?
Or I was thinking brown nose. Is that a nice fragrance name? So we have some breaking news as we're recording this. The government's welfare reform bill has passed after some last-minute concessions.
Yeah, 42 Labour MPs voted against it. Yeah. So they've still got a bit of a contingent who aren't keen.
Yeah, I think the thing is the damage has been done, right? The second day you went, OK, we'll change it, you just went, oh, you're done.
Yeah.
Like I saw a source told The Times saying, basically Starmer's got a year, basically, to save his premiership or he's out and he screwed it.
It's mental, and it's just like £5 billion they now have to find as well. Like that was their big thing. It's like, we have to do it to save £5 billion. And now they're like, oh, right, okay. We've got to find £5 billion to cut. So they're just going to raise taxes. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they do the switcheroo of like taxing working people.
Yeah.
They'll just be like, oh, we actually meant woking people. We just misprinted it. So just wait for that.
Maybe they can negotiate with Oliver Tarvet.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll give them a bit.
Yeah, how good is Keir Starmer at tennis?
Well, he can't be any worse than he is at leading a country.
I reckon he'd give it a try.
So finally, it's time for round three, the missing words round. I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week and you just need to fill in the missing words. Are you ready? Your first headline is, three bales of hay, a frozen turkey and a collection of historic coins were all what?
Found in Jack's bag by Glastonbury Security.
Hey man, look, historic coins, you get a lot for them at Glastonbury. Is it what all potential considerations for Keir Starmer's luxury item on Desert Island Discs?
So three hay bales, a frozen turkey and a collection of historic coins are all Rachel Reeves has left to balance a budget.
You're wrong, unfortunately. The answer is three bales of hay, a frozen turkey and a collection of historic coins were all left on mega buses over the years.
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah, a bunch
three
of things.
Three bales of hay is pretty impressive.
Three bales of hay. Oh. It's like a nursery rhyme.
Imagine that turkey's defrosted out by now.
Taking it on a megabus is the best way to defrost a turkey, yeah. Given how hot megabuses have been when I've been on
it's
it.
Actually, so. It's actually one of the instructions in the Delia recipe for cooking your Christmas turkey. London to Cardiff is your ideal journey.
The perfect slow-cooked turkey.
Okay, your next missing word. People are officially what if they're called James or Elizabeth?
Boring.
Wow. You're going to be regretting that, Mike, in a second.
Oh, oops.
I was going to say people are officially with a 5% chance of becoming a monarch if they're called James or Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You're sort of along the right tracks. The answer is people are officially changing their name if they're called James or Elizabeth. Oh, so what? This is an analysis by a name label manufacturer, but they looked at the latest deed poll data, 15,000 court records, and men named James are most likely to seek a rebrand, and Elizabeth is the second most commonly changed name. What do you think the third most commonly changed name is?
If you're going to say Michael.
Essentially Jack. Look how narcissistic we are, Mike.
Is it Emerald?
No way is it Emerald. Who would change their name from Emerald? No, it's Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Mike.
That's why you call yourself
People don't
Mike,
want your
isn't
name.
It? Yeah. The shame of being called Michael.
The shame of being called. Also, I just remember my mum's middle name is Elizabeth, so I shouldn't have called it boring.
I'm going to text her.
Wow. You knock.
Okay, your final missing word is Australian man charged with theft after $100,000 of what found?
Australian man charged with theft after 100,000 IOU signed by him found in bank vault.
£100,000 of barbecue equipment. Because I think they would take that seriously.
Yeah, they would be having
I think
it.
That would be news, right?
You're not far off with your answers in terms of how Australian they are. Australian man charged with theft after $100,000 of bull semen found.
Wow. Yeah. Where did they find it?
And I mean, they don't specify, but I hope in a vault. I actually was going to pick this as a round two story. I was going to play a game of higher or lower with different animals' semen. But after Googling how much is a straw of dog semen, I thought I can't.
A straw?
Can't do
is
this.
That what the measurement is?
That's how they're measured in? Oh. Straws. Yeah, oh. I had to stop there.
I mean, the only thing I think straws are used for in general are for drinking. So that does worry me that that's the way they quantify it.
A straw's worth of dog semen.
We posted this missing word round on our social media channels. So congratulations to Digger_666 on Instagram, who made us laugh with their response when they said, Australian man charged with theft after $100,000 of succulent Chinese meals found.
Yes.
Classic. R.I.P.
I know. Yeah.
And picking that was Democracy Manifest.
For anyone who's not sure what that reference is, just Google succulent Chinese meal and it will...
When
all...
you cut past the first 40 pages of chow mein orders,
yeah,
it will show
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If anyone's been in a coma for the last 20 years and this is the first thing you've listened to.
Look for a big burly man with a booming voice.
Yeah.
Follow Have I Got News For You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our missing word round when we post another one next Tuesday.
Mike, for your sake as well, I'd just like to say in Glastonbury there was both a flag with succulent Chinese meal guy on it and two JD Vance memes on the flags. So yeah.
I think Mike might come round to it.
Mike might come round, you know.
That's what the internet's for. I don't need to go stand in a frill for 3 days for 500 quid to see that. That's the joy of the internet. He said miserably.
As he bats away his response to the BBC Glastonbury coverage.
Yeah.
Why didn't you show more of Mick Hucknall?
Yeah.
Who, again, should have been brought out in a cage because he shouldn't be allowed near Rod's backing dancer, should he?
Oh, God.
Thank you for listening to In The News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Miss you, Queenie.
I'm going to have a little lie down, I think.
It's so hot.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.